you would this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. We are concluding the final message in this series about the joy of the Lord. And one thing that Jesus said is that in this life, we know, or at least I hope we know, that in the life that is to come, there's going to be perfect joy. And when I mean perfect joy, I mean no more tears. How many love that verse in the book of Revelation where God will wipe away every tear? Amen? How many read it and think of it kind of often, especially as you get older and you experience suffering, sorrow, or loss? There's going to be perfect joy in heaven. We have full joy now, but heaven is perfect joy. And we talked about the difference last week, you know. Here in this life, our joy is mingled with tears. And what I mean by that is this. You know, we're joyful because we're saved. That three things we talked about as far as the joy of our salvation last week is, number one, we're loved. And that love is demonstrated to us by not only the death of Jesus on Calvary, but his extension of forgiveness to those of us who believe on him for our salvation. We also are accepted. God takes us however we are. And I'm not just talking about the ugly things in our lives. And he loves you despite your ugly things. But also our quirky things. You ever have someone you know, you love them with the love of God, but there's a personality conflict, and, you know, maybe you're not like some other people, although some of the smiles I see, you know, you just don't jive with someone, and in fact, when I say this now, I say this with all sincerity and seriousness. In fact, we could blanket the whole human race this way, but, you know, one thing the church is, and the church should be, is a place where people who really don't fit anywhere. You ever feel like that, where you don't really fit? I don't really fit with this group. I don't really fit with that group. A church should be a place where, regardless of your personality, your quirks, your background, your height, your weight, whatever it might be, you fit. You're accepted wholly as you are, the good, the bad, the ugly. Why? Because God accepts you. We took time to talk about Zacchaeus and how he climbed up the tree. And when Jesus saw him there, he just didn't say, "Hey, Zacchaeus, good to see you, man." He said, "Today I'm going to your house. I receive your hospitality. The world may reject you, but God will never forsake you, no matter what. And he'll forgive you no matter what." And we just don't have that sense of God accepts us. He includes us as part of his family. We're in the inner circle. You know, I hate to say it, but in every group, every organization, including churches, there, you know, cliques. And the in-group and the out-group. If you're in Jesus, you're in the in-group because you're part of the family. You're a joint heir with Jesus. And so we talked about that. These are the things that give us joy as far as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that joy is mingled with tears. Why? Because life is full of sorrows. One of the things we experience in life is loss. And many of us have lost friends and family this year due to COVID or other illnesses or situations in their lives. We go through times of suffering where we have maybe sickness in our body, or maybe we're facing some kind of distressing circumstance. Could be a financial thing, could be a family pressure, could be a job situation. Jesus, of course, said, "Surely the godly in this life will all suffer persecution. We suffer for our faith." And if you truly have the Spirit of the living God within you, you're grieved over the fact there are many people who are, number one, in life, whether you know them or not. And I think this is a true test of where we are in Jesus and where we are in the love of God. You know, we should be moved. It's natural to be moved when we see the suffering of someone that we love are going through difficult times. When someone we love is suffering, we feel that. If we have the love of God, we should be grieved over all the suffering that is going on in the world around us. People bound by violence, hatred, frustration, drug addiction, sexual addiction, alcohol addiction, divorce, suicide, depression. All these things are running rampant in our society. Why do you think drug use? Why do you think the powers that be? Other than money, and I think money has a lot to do with it, but I'm not going to get on a soapbox today. But, you know, we want people to take drugs, you know, to smoke marijuana. We want people to do that. Why? So that, you know, they won't become a problem. They'll mellow out, be less problems for us. We should be grieved over, you know, America's inability to cope because of all the suffering and all the sin and everything that's going on. But above all, we should be grieved in the fact that the majority of people in our cities, in our state, in our country, and in the world are going to a Christless eternity of eternal suffering unless because they have not accepted Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life as their personal Savior. There is only one way to receive redemption from your sin, and that is through the free gift of God's grace to you. And many people have not received it. And the sad thing is many people haven't even heard the story or the message in different lands. So why I say that is our joy, although we have the joy of our salvation, which we talked about what that is, and we have the joy if we're living in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We should be filled with joy because of the Spirit that is within us. And we talked about how that's a fountain flowing up not only within us, but outside us. It should be if you're filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You should not only be filled on the inside with joy, but your joy should be flowing out to others. The word that comes to mind this morning in this message is infectious. You should have an infectious joy. It's part of being salt and light in the community that we live. You know, it just seems a little happier when you're around. It's not you, per se. It's the Spirit of God within you if you're living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how there's joy in fruitfulness, how when we grow in God, and when we serve God, and when we win people, and when we disciple people, there's great joy in that. We please our Heavenly Father, and we're living in obedience, but there's also that sense of accomplishment that we're doing something, and God's making me more like Him, and I can be more happy about myself and where I am in Jesus. In fact, I don't mean to re-preach a sermon, but let me say this. I think there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who aren't living in joy because they're just kind of stuck in the muck and mire of where they are in Christ and aren't moving forward, not growing in His grace, His knowledge, His truth, and not availing themselves to be used by Him in Jesus' name. We also talked about how there's joy in praise, and isn't it wonderful we live in a day and age? Not that it's needed. I think we get a little too addicted to these devices. And the reason I have my phone up here this morning is I forgot my watch and my little clock's not working. And it doesn't matter so much for the second service because I can just preach and preach. And you know, does anyone have a roast in the oven? Raise your hand. But in all seriousness. But you know, we have devices, not that we need them, but we can play praise music. You want a meaningful and powerful prayer life? Then don't just, although it's a privilege to do so, just don't throw a laundry list at Jesus of things you want and need Him to do in your life. It's good to do that. It's freeing to do that. It's joyful to do that. But also take time to praise Him and to worship Him for who He is and for what He's done, for God inhabits the praises of His people. But there's joy in salvation. And the salvation that we should take joy in is not solely our salvation, but the salvation of others who come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior in their lives. And I ask you this morning, because this is something we all need to ask ourselves, do we take joy? This is the thrust of the message this morning. Do we take joy in the salvation and the deliverance of God in other people? Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them in pairs ahead of Him to every city and place where He Himself was going to come. And He was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Go, behold, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer is deserving of his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is served to you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that city.'" Skipping down to verse 17, the Bible says, "Now the 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions, and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Let's bow our hearts. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the word of God. As we look to the word of God, we ask once again that you would send, Lord, your Holy Spirit upon this, your servant. Give words to your speaker today. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. And help us, Lord, not only to grow in faith and truth and love, but help us appreciate, Lord, the joys of your salvation more than we ever have before. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We have joy in praise. We have joy in abiding in the Spirit. We have joy when we love one another. That's part of the fruits of living in fruitfulness. We have joy in our own salvation. But if we're truly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should find joy when we see the works of God in other people. For one thing, you and I, if we truly know Jesus and we have the mind of Christ, and that's one of the things that we're to be striving for as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be overjoyed when we see someone come to faith in Jesus Christ. Whether it's in our midst, whether we hear about it at another church, or read about it in a story, or from a missionary, when someone finds Jesus, that should be the source of great joy. We read about this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Let me scroll down. Past it. 15, verse 7. And chapter 15 of the book or the Gospel of Luke is the salvation chapter, or the lost chapter. Some call it the lost chapter, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But I think better stated, it's the found chapter, the found coin, the found sheep, and the found son. And of course, we know the story of the prodigal son. The son leaves the father, basically tells his father he wishes he was dead. He leaves and he loses everything, and then he comes back. We have the story of the lost coin. The woman loses the one coin and she searches all over the house until she finds it. And when she finds it, she's filled with great joy. And then the lost sheep. Shepherd has 100 sheep. He loses one. He leaves the 99, goes out, finds the one, brings it back with great joy. And for the lost sheep and the lost coin, Jesus ends with this similar phrase that we read in Luke 15, verse 7. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Now, how many of you think God is happy that you and me came together to worship him today? I think we all should be. God is definitely delighted. Number one, because we are obeying his word. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And not only we're obeying his word, the reason that we're coming together. If you didn't love God, and I know some people come to church, you know, out of just habit, you know, every Sunday I just go to church. Some people come to church, they think, you know, if I don't get to church, I'm not going to be blessed this week. Totally wrong reason. But I would dare say for most of us, if not all of us who are here in this room today and in the first service, the reason we come out to church is because we love God and we want to worship him. And God delights in that. So it's not like God isn't happy or God isn't full of joy. In fact, how joyful will it be when we see people we haven't seen since April walk through those doors, lift up their hands, and begin to worship God? That's going to be a great day. I think on that day, we'll have that chili supper we've been trying to do. First thing we're going to do is have a potluck. Amen. I can't wait. So praise God. And but what Jesus is saying here, not that he doesn't have joy with those of us who are here, but there's more joy when the number that already know and profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior increase, even if it's only by one person, heaven erupts in glorious praise. I like to think of it in terms, and maybe none of you identify, Tom, I think you might. But I like to think of it in terms of watching a football game. And if you like football, you know, you enjoy, you know, a good play. You know, they get a first down. Yeah, good play. You know, people applaud and cheer when there's a good play. But when do you really hear people jump up and start screaming in the stadium? When they score that touchdown or when they hit that home run. When something like that, all of a sudden, you know, they're having a good time anyways. They're eating the nachos and the hot dogs, and what's wrong with that? But they really have an exciting time when the team scores and something happens. Well, what is the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ? That none perish, all come to repentance. Heaven explodes in joy. And if we have the mind of Christ, we should explode in joy too. And not just when we see one here. Although we desperately want and need to see people finding Christ in our services. Amen. But whenever we hear a testimony that a lost sinner has come home and found Jesus, that should give us great, exceeding joy and delight, because the family of God has increased in Jesus' name. The question is, does it? Another aspect of the salvation of other people that should be part of the joy of salvation that sustains us even in difficult times is seeing not only people making a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but also experience breakthroughs in their lives as believers. Because as I've said often, God isn't just interested in people who make decisions. He wants people to become disciples. And a disciple is a follower. And what that tells us, it's a man or woman of action where they're pursuing Jesus. They're trying to be more like Him. They're trying to get over their weaknesses, their faults, their sins. They're trying to have more of the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, and peace. They're trying to become people of witness and testimony and ministry and teaching and helping and bringing glory to the kingdom of God. And when we see, just like, you know, we see the toddler take their first steps. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I saw Greg walk in this morning, but I wasn't overcome with joy that Greg walked in. Oh, isn't that good? Greg took his first steps. But when a baby does it, we're all excited. Should not that be the response of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ when they see someone move forward in Jesus? Either in their heart, you know, regarding Christian character or faith or things of that nature, or step out in ministry or leadership. This was the heart of the Apostle Paul. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For who is our hope or joy or crown of pride in the presence of our Lord Jesus at His coming? Or is it not indeed you, for you are our glory and our joy? You know, it is the will of God to take us. And you know, so often I think of myself and all of us who serve Jesus as lumps of clay, that God is working and moving and making something beautiful. And as He shapes and forms that and makes it into something beautiful, it's a thing of one. I don't know if you ever, I do, you know, watch a potter and I think, oh, isn't that amazing how they do that? It's not only something of wonder and astonishment, it's something of joy to see something that's formless and useless being made into something that's both beautiful and functional, and it's joyful to God to see someone become everything that God has created them to be. And so it should be to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing people grow in Jesus should be our joy. We should also have joy over seeing the miraculous works of God. And I'll explain why I'm sharing this, because it seems like a no-brainer. In fact, reading Luke chapter 19, verse 37, the Bible says, talking about joy, and we've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, by the way, in our Bible study, and if you can't make it We do have the YouTube video on the church YouTube channel. We've been talking about how Jesus promised signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And one of the things, when God moves in a supernatural way, a divine healing, a miracle of some sort, people being delivered from demon spirits, it produces great joy in those who know Jesus, not just the people who are healed, but everyone. Luke 19:37, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. Great joy! And that's a consistent theme, where not only was there the preaching of the Word of God, but where the miraculous power of God was demonstrated. Why? Because when something miraculous happens, when the blind see, the lame walk, the oppressed are set free by no human hands, instantaneous, then God gets the glory. And even though it might not have happened to you personally, bless God, you have been in the presence of the mighty God doing great things. But my question is, not that we've seen a whole lot of that, and may we press in for more of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may God demonstrate his might and power in a greater way, not only in this church, but in this city, for his name's sake. Does it give us joy? This is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Because seeing the miraculous works of God, including being used for these miraculous works, and we talked about that, the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Seeing these things should give us joy. Seeing people saved should give us joy. Seeing people grow in every way conceivable as a believer should give us joy. But does it give us joy? And if it doesn't give us joy, the question we need to ask ourselves is why? Because there's no reason that when someone comes from death to life, you and I as believers who have already tasted and seen that God is good, that we shouldn't be overjoyed. But one of the things that unfortunately is absent from the church is the joy of the Lord. And one reason could be is we no longer delight in the joy of his salvation. How do we tell? So the question is, how do we tell if we've lost our joy in that? And let me tell you, I am in no place to tell whether you or anyone else other than myself has lost the joy in that. But we certainly can ask tell if we have lost the joy of salvation, not only our own, but the joy of others receiving Jesus and growing in Jesus, just by asking ourselves a few simple questions. And let me tell you, these questions are very common to me because I grew up in the church. And if you're a church kid who grew up in the church, you have a different perspective on things that isn't always godly. and I don't share that to my pride. I share it to my shame. And I know I wasn't the only one who felt this way, but it's just one of the struggles that those people who lost joy in salvation deal with. Number one, at the end of a service, especially when you know there are people in that service who don't know Jesus, do you hope there's no altar call so that you can get out of there on time? Number two, when someone either goes to the altar or shares a need following the service, do you avail yourself to the Holy Spirit and ask that person if they need prayer, ministry, wisdom, or encouragement? How much time and effort on a weekly basis do you put in blessing and encouraging others in a way as such for people to either receive Jesus or grow as far as faith in Jesus? When you see people who get attention over growth, and specifically the use of their talents, maybe they're stepping out in an area of ministry of leadership, do you rejoice that they've reached a place where they're now able to take on new responsibilities? Or do you look at them because, like the little baby, they're getting a little more attention than you might be? Do you look at them with envy or jealousy? You know, there's two faces in the story of the prodigal son. There's the face of the father, who accepts the son even though he basically told him he hated him, was involved with things that were totally against the morals and the sensitivities of his father, brought shame to his father, and was ceremonially unclean in that he was someone who fed pigs, and so was in contact with an unclean beast that would make him someone that you need to make sacrifices and go through, you know, this, that, and the other before I can accept you in my doorway. The father ran out and embraced him. That's the joy that Jesus didn't expressly state, but showed as far as when a sinner comes home. It's the sense of forgiveness, acceptance, and belonging that comes when someone finds Jesus that we're to share with. But sometimes in the body of Christ, we can fall into the shoes of the older son who wasn't happy at all that his brother returned. In fact, he looked at all the celebrations and joy that was joy, not just that his brother was back, but looked at the joy that was going on and looked at that with envy. Even the miraculous, especially when we've seen the miraculous, and God is able to do a lot of things, amen? Even that, people can lose their fascination with the wonder of God moving by his might and his power. And I'm not saying it can happen, I'm saying it does happen. And I think there are two reasons why it happens. Number one, we get familiar with the works and movings of God. It's not a matter of jealousy, you know. I mean, who would be upset anyone finding Jesus? We'd all be happy about that, but joyful? Sometimes we hear a crusade where 100 people, souls, have come to Christ. Well, that's nice. I'd rather hear some good juicy gossip instead. It's the thing that kind of unfortunately clogs Christian airways if you follow some Christian news sites and things. Even one, we should be overjoyed, but if we see people come to Christ on a regular basis, or we've seen or experienced divine healings, we lose the wonder. Why? Because we've already experienced that. And we lose our fascination with that, and that should never be. If we are where we should be in Christ, and we're living in the joy of salvation, we should always be overjoyed when a sinner comes home, or when someone experienced some kind of breakthrough, whether it be mental, physical, emotional, but most importantly, spiritual. But secondly, reason why people lose the joy in salvation is because they're too absorbed with themselves. They really don't, if it doesn't involve them, they don't really care what's going on in someone else's life. And that, especially in our American culture, is an affliction that has severely affected the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about, we see it as a characteristic of the church. Best example I can give you is the story of Jonah from Scripture. And we think of Jonah, we think of, you know, being swallowed by the big fish. You know, I disobeyed God. And that's a very important part of the story. But the fourth chapter is really great and short. The whole book is short. You can probably read the whole book in 10 minutes. The end of the chapter is great, but not so much for Jonah. What Jonah's job was, he was the prophet of God. Nineveh was a wicked city whose judgment time had come. And God sent Jonah to go to that city of 120,000 people and preach to them in 40 days they would be destroyed because of their sins. And then he went to a hillside to watch it all happen. And God in his mercy caused this gourd to grow, and the shade of this gourd plant shaded Jonah from the hot beating sun so he could be comfortable in the heat of the day. Well, in the city of Nineveh, the king of Nineveh responded with grief and with shame. And so he had the entirety of the city, himself included, and the animals dressed in uncomfortable sackcloth, not eat and not drink, to show their remorse over the wickedness that they have done, to repent before God in heaven. And God saw their repentant heart, and even though he had purposed to destroy the city because of their sin, because they had repented, God relented of the judgment that he was going to exact upon this people. And Jonah was watching it. And as he was watching it, waiting for it to happen, and he did not like the Ninevites at all, the Bible says God prepared a worm to infiltrate that gourd, and that gourd that was providing that nice shade during the heat of the day died. And Jonah lost his joy. And God spoke to him, rebuked him, said, in a sense, where are you at, Jonah? You are more upset over the death of a plant than you are over the eternal fate of the 120,000 souls that live in the city of Nineveh. Too often as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we feel that if it does happen, if it doesn't involve with me, then I'm not interested. And the proof of that is this. Number one, are we overjoyed? Not only are we overjoyed when we find people, do we totally lose our joy when the other things that we've replaced, because we're always seeking some kind of fulfillment of joy. And if your joy isn't in salvation, it'll be something else. It might be your hobby. It might be a job. It might, you know, might be your career. It might be your family. It might be monies or possessions. When somehow your pursuit of that gets interrupted, you lose it. You sit at church and can't wait for the service to get over. And, you know, you hope no, I don't think anyone hopes no one gets saved. You just want the service to get over. And then, but if you lose your tee time at the golf course because you were late, it totally ruins your day. Well, I don't know about you, but if that describes you, I think you've lost the joy of salvation. And you need to keep that kindled in your life. Let me conclude by saying this. Very interesting part of this, of our text this morning. Disciples return and they're excited. Verse 72, return rejoice, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to walk on snakes and scorpions, and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Now, there are a number of reasons. Now, should the disciples have been joyful over seeing the mighty works of God move through them? Absolutely. Which makes us wonder, well, why did Jesus rebuke them and say, well, don't be happy over that. Be happy that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For one thing, when we rejoice over God using us, it needs to be kept in proper perspective, that we don't think that someone came to Christ or someone got healed because of my great spirituality or even my willingness or obedience to do that. God doesn't need to use us. We should be overjoyed that God used us, but number one, that the name of the Lord, that we would be used to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in someone's life. And so God wanted them to keep in perspective how God used them so it wouldn't go to their head and they would fall into the sin and the trap of pride. But God, Jesus also shared this to teach both them and us the thing that will keep us joyful just in our own relationship with Jesus, and joyful when other people come to Christ and grow in Christ. That being that if we know Jesus, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of God, Lamb's Book of Life. God loves me. God sanctifies me. God uses me. God's going to keep me. Amen. No one can pluck me out of the Father's hand. And someday I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And we need to know that. And not only do we know that, need to know that to keep in proper perspective, but we need to know that because we will, and we are, if I can be honest and frank with you, we're going through a very spiritually dry time in our country, especially in New England. These are barren lands that you and I are working for the kingdom of God. We can look at all the reasons, but basically it's the hardness of heart that we're dealing with. And it could be so easy for us just to get down and get discouraged because we're seeing very little fruit for our labors. And now, in addition, we could be facing a season of persecution in our country. We're already seeing censorship on some levels, and there's no reason to believe that that won't increase. During difficult times, remembering that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God's Word says, is enough to keep us in the place of joy. Rejoice, for your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I close with this. If knowing that you're saved and seeing other people come to Christ and other people grow in Christ, if for whatever reason those things and those things alone don't give you joy and excitement that God is alive in me and God is alive in other people, even the same people I see week after week after week in church or whatever other Christian venue I might see them. I'm not saying you're a bad Christian. I'm just saying you're human. And you need to pray the prayer that David prayed those many years ago when he fell into sin and lost his joy. Psalm 51, verse 12, the first part of that this morning. Restore to me the joy of our salvation. God can, will, and can rekindle your joy in that you, a dirty, rotten, filthy, imperfect sinner, you're just like me. God will love you, accept you, and even when you fail him, he still loves you, accepts you, cleans you up, sets you back on your feet, and sets you on his way. How many are thankful for that? That when you fail, nothing changes. Parents, did you stop loving your children when they did something disobedient? Even if they said, and I know a lot of kids have said this to their parents, I hate you. Did you stop loving them? Well, sure, you were hurt. You never stop loving them. We do things, similar things in our deeds and our actions today to the Heavenly Father, but it never changes his love for us, and that's something we can rejoice. I've blown it today, but God still loves me, and I can still go to him in the name of Jesus. Find cleansing, healing, and renewal in Jesus' name. The joy of salvation is something we should live in every day because we live in the power of his salvation every day. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing together this morning in the name of Jesus.